You know, and artists have depicted the parable of the lost sheep in loads and loads of different ways. And a picture by Alfred Sword, I don't know if you remember it, you might do if I describe it. It sees a young shepherd boy standing precariously on a high ridge, holding onto a rock with one hand and reaching down to a stranded sheep on the ledge below. And if you look closely at that picture, you'll see the strong muscles of the shepherd flexing to maintain that grip. And, you know, he's got his arms stretched out like this, trying to hang on to the sheep and reaching that stranded sheep. And what makes that particular work really compelling to me is that you can see that the vultures up above are circling around, waiting for the shepherd to fall, and then he becomes their prey. Well, the point of the parable is obvious. I think the children depict that really well. The kingdom of God is like a good shepherd who has a flock of 100 sheep, who, losing just one of them, leaves the other 99 to go and find that lost sheep. So he leaves a whole great big flock of sheep to go find the one. It's really quite a simple point. But if you look closer, the parable hits home in a number of unexpected ways. And that's what I like for us to think about today. Specifically, what does the parable say about the nature of God? What does it say about us? And what does it say about our relationship to each other? I love it here when you do your family prayer, your family get to share that news. And it's a church, I love coming here. I always get a nice warm welcome, but it's also, you're very encompassing, you include us, and you share together. Not a lot of churches do that, you know. You'd be surprised. So let's look at this parable. Firstly, it strikes at the heart of our value system, if you think about it, and it confronts us with the magnitude of God's infinite mercy, forgiveness, and love. Listen just once more to: which of you men, if you had 100 sheep and lost one of them, wouldn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until you found it? The answer in this day and age, I think, is none. Nil. People just wouldn't bother with one sheep or whatever it was they had lost, because that's not the way we think. We would think, we've got 100 sheep, we lose one. Well, that's okay. It's just the cost of doing business. It's one sheep out of 100. It's an acceptable loss. It's only 1%. It's no big deal. That's how we think today. We'll cut the losses without really thinking about it. But when you do think about it, our whole lives are based on an acceptable percentage of failure. You see, we start every school year knowing that there's going to be a certain dropout rate. Not everyone's going to graduate. Marriages start out with a predictable rate of divorce. Because not every marriage makes it. Our Richard's better. I've got the great honour of marrying them, so that's going to be fun. And William Barclay tells a little story in his layman's commentary that I really just love, and it's a little dated, but sometimes these things are good because it's set in the 18th century. But it makes a good point. And it's about a young doctor who was backpacking across Europe, and he travelled for several weeks, but much of the way on foot, but he became ill, and I forget the circumstances, but he became seriously ill, and a couple of strangers found him lying half conscious by the side of the road, got him to the hospital, and the doctors there looked at him and shook their heads. And one said to the other in Latin, and he was whispering, he said, "What a worthless bloke. We do him a favour to let him die." The young doctor, lying on the table, understood every word. He looked up and he replied, also in Latin, "Never call a man worthless to whom Christ has called, for Christ whom Christ has died for." So often we give up easily when others fall through the cracks. We're quick to write them off. Because there's a saying we say, don't we all, you can't win them all. When we do, we use that. but not in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is like that good shepherd who is a flock of 100 sheep. And when he loses just one of them, he'll leave the 99 to go find the other one. You see, with God, nothing is lost. That's the first point. The second is this. With God, we live in a community with each other, which is, as I was sharing earlier, that's why I love coming here, because we share with each other. In other words, the sheep was lost because it was part of the flock to begin with. And the very fact that it belonged to the flock led to the fact that when the shepherd counted heads, it was obvious one was missing. And being lost is to do with our connection to each other. Because we're interrelated, our lives are interrelated because we believe in Jesus Christ. Because we live as a family together. So we've got that connectability. And it's really important to recognise that. Because what happens is, when one of us is missing, because we've got that interconnectivity, we know something is missing. Someone is missing from the flock. There was a man who, in the wake of his wife's death, said this, and it's really, it really hit home. He said, "It's not only that I've lost her, but that I'm lost without her." And that's a correlation I've come to appreciate more and more over the years. The more intimately we're connected to another person, the more we agonise when we're separated. The less we're connected, the less we are affected. In December 1980, our two boys, one was 5, Richard was 8, and it was just before Christmas, it was in December, and we decided to go Christmas shopping. So we're in Bradford, we're in the shopping centre, we're in a bookstore because we all like reading, and we were looking at the books and stuff. I had Richard with me, Malcolm had him. And Malcolm was looking at the books, and he put one back on the shelf, looked down to say something to Gareth, only it wasn't Gareth, it was somebody else's child. So it was like, "Lynn, yes, have you got Gareth with you?" "No, I thought he was with you. I've got Richard." And then the panic sets in, because we realise our youngest son has gone missing. And those of you who are parents will recognise that panicky feeling that you would have. The town was packed, so we came out of this, we searched the bookstore, which was 3 stories. We went out into the shopping centre, couldn't see him there. We went through the doors to the street, and there was throngs of people going that way, throngs of people going the other way. And we just stood there thinking, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where could he have got to?" He was only 5, and he was only little because he's never been very big until, I don't know, hit his teens and he was, 6'4" now. But there we were, in the cold, in the wet, missing a son. And Malcolm then thought, because we'd always said to them, "Go to where the car is. I bet he's going back to the car park." It was about 1/2 mile away, but then like, so we went racing across to the car park. Malcolm got there first. And there was our little 5-year-old son hanging on to the driver's door handle. I guess he thought if he's hanging on to that, nobody could go off without him. We found him, and of course, we got there just after you, and we were hugging and kissing and, you know, crying and all the rest of it, because we'd found him. I imagine that's what that shepherd must have felt like. Really happy and excited, and, but, you know, emotional, because he'd found his lost sheep. There was bedlam. You know, it was a horrible thing to go through, but it does make you realise how connected you are. And that's the essence of the kingdom of God. We are family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're joined by that common allegiance to him. And because we belong to the body of Jesus, when one of us is missing, something about us is missing as well. And that's why it's important for us not to give up on those who have maybe dropped out of the church or fallen by the wayside or gone astray. It's not simply that they're lost, but part of us is lost as well, because they've been part of our family. We live in a community with each other, or we don't really live. So that's why it's important for us not to give up on those people. And when you think about it, there's lots of reasons why people drop out. Some get angry and upset, bent out of shape. Life just gets them down. Others get their feelings hurt over something that was said or done. Sometimes people drop out because of something they've said or done to alienate themselves, from other people. And sometimes people drop out because they just get out of the habit of coming to church. So it'd be great if she brings Mitchell in. One Bible commentator said, sheep tend to nibble themselves lost. And what he means by that, you see, the graze on a tuft of grass with heads down, and then they move on the grass, and then they keep moving on, and then they lift their head and suddenly they realise they're on their own, because there's nobody else there, there's no other sheep around them. And so then they've got to have somebody to bring them back. And it's not that they're particularly stubborn or rebellious or stupid, it's simply their nature. Sheep stray because what they do is eat grass. So they'll eat the grass and move on and eat the grass, and then they get the lost. But our good news is that the Good Shepherd comes looking for them. Amen to that one. And he searches until he finds them, and when he does, he brings them back into the fold. And I think that's a model we do well to follow in the life and witness of our church. Because it says it all. It says that you belong. You are part of us. We want you to be there. You need to be there. That's the witness. We need to be persistent about reaching out to those people who don't. The parable ends in this way. When he, the shepherd, has found it, the lost sheep, he carries it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now, to be honest, I wouldn't say it like that. You know, we'd say, he found the sheep, carry it on his shoulders and bring it back home, calls his friends and neighbours, saying, here you are. Well, it's about time. Don't you ever do that again. I'll let you off this time, but don't you ever do that again, because that's kind of human. That's what we do, isn't it? That's how we react. We should say that to Gareth, actually. Don't you dare ever go off on your own again. But that's not the way the parable ends. Because the way Jesus tells it, the shepherd and all his friends and neighbours rejoice. In fact, Jesus goes on to say this, I tell you that even so, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Malcolm had the pleasure of knowing a chap called Christmas James. It was actually Reverend Christmas James. And he was pastor of a blind and deaf institute in Bradford. And Malcolm used to go there quite a lot. And he used to teach the children how to describe things. I mean, these people were blind, these kids were blind. And he'd say, how would you describe a cloud to somebody who was blind? And you would teach people how to communicate with the blind. And of course, you could give them a piece of cotton wool and it would be fluffy, because that's how we imagine when we see clouds, it looks fluffy. And all that sort of stuff. But he lived in worked in a really dicey neighbourhood in Bradford. And he once said that just to walk down the street is to invite drug dealing, prostitution, gambling and violence. That's how bad it was. But to cut a long story short, Reverend James said that he felt the Spirit was leading him to go down this particular street. And he didn't want to go. He wasn't interested in what the folks down there had to offer, what they were doing and that sort of thing. Plus, he was a little bit concerned about what his parishioners would think if he went off down this dicey road. And they'd wonder what he was doing there. As he walked down the road, because he felt the spirit strongly leading him down there, he sat on a bench in a bus shelter. And he asked the Lord, right now I'm here, what do you want me to do now? And he said, just sit there. So he sat there for a while, and slowly people started to come over and talk to him, because they knew who he was, because they'd seen him out and about. And they wondered what he was doing. And when they came over, they started to come over and talk to him. When they realised he wasn't there to condemn them for what they were doing or to cause trouble, they began to open up to him and share their lives and share their stories with him. He went back to the church the following Sunday, and he told his congregation, almost like a confession, what he'd done earlier in the week. And some of them were pretty upset and saying, why are you wasting your time associating with those people? Why are you down there? You know, we're the family, you should be looking after us. And he said, because some of those people are your sons and daughters, your brothers and sisters, your aunts and uncles. And he wasn't kidding, and they realised. They knew it. But over a period of time, that day, that of his action of sitting on that bench and just letting people come to him and letting them tell their story actually transformed the church. Because they started taking food to the neighbourhood one day a week, feeding all those people who'd come and have a hot meal. And as they ate together, people started talking to each other, and before long, reconciliation had begun. There was no barriers. The barriers had come down. Nobody was blaming anybody for what they were doing. Nobody was saying, well, you shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. They just accepted each other for who they were and what they were. Relationships were restored and lost souls were brought back into the community of Jesus. And that's a wonderful story. And there was another chap, Smith Wigglesworth, used to do that. I don't know if you've heard of him. Pentecostal man. And he would do the same. Wherever the Spirit was leading him, sometimes, well, one time it was up on the Cowan Calf Rocks at Ilkley, and God just told him to go and sit there, and he sat there. And this man came up and sat down next to him and started talking to him. And he confessed that his plan was to go home and kill himself. And Smith Wigglesworth said, but there's a better way. And he shared Jesus with him, and that man came to the Lord. And he started going to church. And he built up relationships with the people in the church. And he had a new family. So he belonged to somebody else. The parable of the lost sheep speaks to us best when we hear it in the context of individuals and families. We know and love with whom we have, or for whatever reason, become disconnected. What we need to remember is this. Each one of them counts in God. Nothing is lost. What's more, they're family. And as long as they're missing, a part of us as a family is missing as well. And finally, it really doesn't matter what they've done or why they've strayed. All that matters is that we go to whatever lengths are necessary to reach them and be reconciled to them and bring them home. That's the nature of God. That's the nature of the Good Shepherd. And it really ought to be the nature of us as Christians and as a church. You don't meet people by accident. There's always a reason, a lesson, or a blessing, and why you're there, and why those people come to you. We often come to town on a Saturday, and Malcolm will sit on a bench quite happily. Yeah, you go off shopping, he hates shopping. So I'll go off and have a wander around the shops, and I come back, and he's always talking to somebody, especially in the summer when we've got holiday makers. And he always says, what are you doing on Sunday? Oh, I don't know, you know, whatever. But don't you go to church, you know? Oh, why not? Opening for him. And then he goes, I can't do it like that, I'm afraid. But that's his gift. He talks on a one-to-one level. So don't forget if you're anywhere or God leads you somewhere, don't question it, just do it. Because you're there for a reason. If not to teach you something yourself, then they need to be there for somebody else. And that somebody else, no doubt, will be going through something, and you will be able to help them. And you will be able to bring them into that fold, our church, our family, because that's what it's about, reaching out and finding that lost sheep. Amen.